I think it's quite obvious that we do have a problem, or so many of us have a problem, really appreciating the fact that Hashem loves us. And it's a serious problem, because if we can't appreciate how much He loves us, or that He loves us, or how much He loves us, it affects our ability to love Him. Because there is a reflective relationship here, that if we know how much He loves us, it elicits a great love from us. You know, and if we don't, so that certainly impairs our ability to love Hashem. But what it also does for us is that really interferes with our ability to put our trust in Him. Because one of the most compelling reasons motivations or stimulation or inspiration to trust is the fact that we know that the one we're trusting loves us. If we're not confident in the love, then we certainly can't find the confidence of trust to put in that individual. And same thing about Hashem. So trying to determine how much Hashem loves us, and that He loves us, and how intense that love is really critical to be able to develop this sense of bitachon, the sense of trust in Hashem. Now, it's not that difficult to understand why we have trouble with it. We learn about Taryag Mitzvahs, and if we ever bother to stop and take stock of our own level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs in the fullest, sometimes we're a little bit surprised, and sometimes not at all surprised, that we're not really living up to the standard that's expected of us, not even to the standard that we expect of ourselves. So I have so many shortcomings. I have so many reasons why Hashem shouldn't love me, that they tend to convince me, and I would say delude me, into the fact that I guess He doesn't. Maybe He doesn't. Besides that, when we look at the matzav of Klal Yisrael, it's very easy to come to a conclusion and to say that I don't see such great love. Certainly since the Churban Beis HaMikdash in the last close to 2,000 years, it doesn't look like such a love affair. You know, there's so much golus, goyla achar goyla, churban achar churban. Every time we manage to set our feet down someplace, lo yitein monoach lekaf raglov, our feet don't have a place to rest, we're on to the next exile. The torment and torture and suffering and atrocities and tragedies might lead one to think that, well, I don't know, I don't see that love so clearly, and I wonder, you know, whether He does love us or not. Add to that the fact that we may not be worthy of that love. Our actions are seemingly not so worthy. We certainly haven't turned the reasons for the Churban around to bring about the Geula, so we're still guilty on that front. And all of this together can add to a very almost reasonable case in the mind of a Jew that maybe Hashem doesn't love us so much. And that, of course, can impair my ability to put my trust in Him. I'd like to suggest, in a very almost bizarre suggestion, that this is a problem that stems all the way back to the times that we spent in the Midbar, in the desert. And is actually alluded to in the Medrash in Parshas Truma that we just read on Shabbos. The Pasuk says, and Hashem says, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Klal Yisrael, also the mikdosh mishochanti b'seifa. Make for me a mikdosh, a place of sanctity, a sanctuary, I guess, v'shochanti b'seifa, and I will come to dwell in their midst. So the psikta to Rav Kahana, psikta Aleph, says as follows, also the mikdosh, v'lomo, why? Moshel lemelech shehoyseloi bas ketana. It could be compared to a king who had a young daughter, underage. Actually, higdilo, ubos lo simonim, until she became a boigris, 12 and a half years old, she was a ketana. Hoyeroy oisavashuk, umedaberimo. He'd see her in the marketplace, and he'd talk to her. Mimvoyois, uvesimtois, and he would talk to her, umedaberimo. In the alleyways and in the little little pathways, and he would talk to her. Kiven shehigdilo, she now became a gdoilo. Ubosalo is simonim, and she had simone gdoilo. Omar ein kvoido shel biti sheehe medaber imo v'aresya. It's not bakovedik for my daughter that I should speak to her publicly. It's not a kovet for her. Ela asuli. Pavilion, maybe that's pavilion, I don't know. She'eyem nedaber imo b'teich pavilion. I want to speak to her in this private place. I don't think that it's lefi chvoido. It's not bakovedik for her that I should speak to her in public now that she's a gdolah. When she was a little kid, okay. Now she's a gdolah, it's not bakovedik. Fine, that's the moshul.
Father, what do you mean it's a father?
Wait. It's even more than the father. Wait. Kach. You hear? This is the moshul. This is the nimshul. B'tchilo ki nar Yisrael ve'yaveyu. The Pasuk in Hosea says, Klal Yisrael is compared to a lad, a young child that Hashem loves. B'mitzrayim ro'o yisoy. In Mitzrayim we saw him. Shenema v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. B'yam ro'o yisoy. On the Yam Suf we saw him. Shenema v'yar Yisrael sayod hagdoylo. We saw the Yad Hashem. B'sinai ro'o yisoy. On Sinai we saw him, Shenera, ponim beponim dibra Hashem imochem. Face to face Hashem spoke with you. Bekivon shekiblu es ha-toiro. But after, now that we accepted the Torah, v'nasu lo umo shleimo, we became a complete nation, like more choshev, we're now a nation, we're not just a bunch of Jews that came out of Mitzrayim, but we became a umo shleimo with Kabbalah HaTorah on Sinai. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not covered for Klal Yisrael, this nation, this Am Yisrael, that I should speak to them publicly. Elo ve'osuli mikdosh v'shochanti b'seichom. And they should make me a mikdosh v'shochanti b'seichom. So, what? First of all, what in the world is going on over here? A little embarrassing. I just realized this is not the Maariv Mokum that I wanted to share with you. So you'll forgive me for an aside, okay? Getting old. Anyway, but this is also a very Maariv Mokum. Like, what in the world is going on over here? It's the father. And more than that, when it's COVID, what, isn't it the greatest COVID? The Melech, who traveled with his entourage, and he stops in the middle of the shuk to talk to this 12 and a half year old girl. It's the biggest COVID in the world. Well, what's going on over here? This is certainly a COVID. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's standing at Har Sinai. He's speaking pale pair to the Klal Yisrael. And the world knows about it. A public revelation. That's what we call it. Oh, it's not Bakovidik. From now on, now they're in Uma Shleimo. Now that they're in Uma, I have to talk to them in private. So it seems that here there's a very interesting concept over here. And that is that we really don't have an appreciation of what COVID. COVID, when shared publicly, is diminished. The ultimate COVID would be that the Melech speaks to me in private and nobody knows. When people know, it cheapens it. When people see, it becomes a spectacle. The real COVID for something that's roy to have COVID is that I'm giving you this COVID and it's not depreciated, and it's not detracted, and it's not compromised by anything that people see, that by loads of people see. Even though seeing me speak to you is the greatest covet, and you're receiving this great covet, and more people are seeing it, so on the one hand, you feel more mechubed. On the other hand, you're really being mevuza, because this is cheapened by a public event. It seems, as someone told me once, or I read, I know that the Habsburgs, when they traveled, the Austrian monarchy, when they traveled, I'm sure the people were lined up, you know, they're coming in their chariots on the streets, but they had to have the curtains closed because the common folk couldn't look at the monarchy. A commoner has no right to look at the king and queen. That's a bizoyan for them. Certain things, the more hush of it is, even though the masses add to COVID on a certain sense, a certain level, but when it's covered, when it's private, it's not diminished by all these people looking. It doesn't become a spectacle. It doesn't become... And the same thing, that's really the explanation for tznius. Tznius, when the especially those parts of the body that are so special, that are involved in dvorim ho'im demerumei shaloylam, if they're exposed, then they're cheapened. To be mechabed them properly, they have to be hidden. Anyway, but that's not what I meant to say. Forgive me, but it's... Yes, it was supposed to come out anyway. Okay. But I meant to quote another Chazal. Chazal say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell the Klal Yisrael that I'm not homeless. I'm not homeless. I have a Beis HaMikdosh Lamalo. I have a very fine residence to live in. I don't need to live amongst them. V'osuli mikdosh v'shochanti b'soichem, I love you, and therefore I want to stay close to you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael. Not because I don't have a place to live, but because I want to be close to you. I ask you a question. The Klal Yisrael is going to think that Hashem is homeless. They had already experienced the greatest of Nisim. They went through the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Yam Suf and Maim and Har Sinai. They saw the Anani, they lived in Anani HaKovid. He provided them for the Sukkos, for them to live in the Midbar already. And, oh no, he's coming to us, he needs this little place in the Mishkan, because really he doesn't have a place, he has to go and make a special point, tell Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them. And I think that the Pshat is that traditionally, the Jew has trouble recognizing how much Hashem loves him. You know, we're not exactly always the best behaved. Here already, Klal Yisrael had shown some serious mistakes already, even in this short period of time in the Midbar. And Hashem wants to be with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be murgash, to be sensed in a place where we can connect with Him, because that's the Hashoras HaShechina. Like today we come to the Kaisel, where Chazal tells us that the Shechina resides even today, and we feel this extra measure of closeness. That's what He does. He loves us so much. He wants to be with us. It cares. It escaped Him on and left Him so much. We have trouble with that. And it must be that he needs to be here for some reason. Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed, you got to let them know that I am not homeless. That's my own words. You know, the Medrash doesn't say it exactly that way. But he says, I have a Beis HaMikdosh El Malo. I don't need this. I don't need this. It's so difficult for us to imagine, for us to recognize, for us to feel the extent that Hashem loves us, that the reality is it becomes very, very difficult to feel that way. And therefore, I can't imagine that He loves us. I can't imagine that He loves us so much. And knowing who we are and what we do and how, you know, and Mimela, I find it difficult to put my trust in Him because I'm not worthy. Not only may I not be worthy for actions that I do, I'm not worthy because I'm not worthy of His love. And therefore, I can't, that dynamic of a loving relationship so I can put my trust, I can't imagine that. And Klal Yisrael has to be told, no, it is because I love you and I want to be close to you and I want you to be able to be close to me. I want you to be able to connect with me. And by the way, the ultimate closeness is this ability to put our trust in Hashem. So, Mimela, that's something that has always been a difficulty, and we should expect that we might have that difficulty, but we have to fight it. How can we fight it? What can we do to to constantly remember that that love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael is still alive and well today. Well, there are a number of things that, I mean, there's endless and infinite, endless ideas of what could strengthen that sense. But just to mention just a few. Number one, we daven every day, say Shachris and Ma'ariv, before we makabel the Malchus Shemayim, which, by the way, the definition, we mentioned that here, I think even last time, the definition of Avo, the Sepunu and Akdom of the Shir Hashirim says, is rejoicing in the qualities of the one I love and in the fulfillment of the one I love's desire. I want to fulfill his desire. I want his desires to be fulfilled, and I rejoice in that and in his qualities. Now, before we makabel the Malchus Shemayim, which is that my commitment to fulfill his desires, we say Ava Rabo and Ava Soilum. And we end it with Borcha to Hashem, HaBoicher Be'amo Yisrael Be'avo. What does that mean? It doesn't say HaBochar Be'amo Yisrael Be'avo, who chose Klal Yisrael Be'avo. That would be the Avo that he had for my great-grandfathers, for the Dor HaMidbar, when he chose us and he gave us the Torah. HaBoicher Be'amo Yisrael Be'avo. Boicher is a Loshon Hoive, present tense. He's boicher every day anew. He chooses, yes, the choice that I made then, I reignite, I reestablish, I redeclare, I reaffirm every single day. He's boicher be'amo Yisrael be'avo. That in itself is just, that means he loves us. He chooses Klal Yisrael daily to be his people. It's a new relationship every day. He makes a new kesher with us every day. Be'ahavo, in love. Same thing by Meir. Borcha to Hashem, Oihev Amo Yisrael. Not Ohav Amo Yisrael when he gave him the Torah at Har Sinai, but he's continually Oihev Amo Yisrael. He loves the Klal Yisrael. The truth of the matter is that Shabbos can also bring us this chizuk in that special relationship. We say on Shabbos, the pasuk says, "Beini ubein bnei Yisrael ois hili olam ki sheishes yom mimos Hashem es hashmayim es oretz v'yom hashvi'i shovas v'hinofash." So Rashi says, that's repeated twice in Kisiso. Rashi says on one of them, the first one, I think, "Ois gedoylo hi." The Shabbos is a beini ubein bnei Yisrael ois hili olam. It's a tremendous ois. Why? Shebocharti bochem, that I chose you. Ba'anchidi lochem esyei menuchosi lemenucha. I gave you as a nachlo, as inheritance, the day I celebrate the anniversary of my creation. Menucha, I completed the world, and I give it to you to celebrate. V'loi nesatu l'goya rotzis, we say right after that. V'loi hinchaltu lov dibsidim. V'gam bimnucha soy lo yishkenu ra'alim. Ki yisroel amcho. This is a sign of that Shebocharti Bochem. The Shabbos every week is a sign that Hashem chose Klal Yisrael to be the people, even though to the anniversary celebration of creation, he should have invited everybody because they are all the recipients of the beneficiaries of creation, the whole world. But no, I'm only inviting you. It's a special relationship that we have. And the truth of the matter is, we say it in Shmon Esrei, we say, V'hanchileinu Hashem Elokeinu ba'av v'rosen Shabbos kodshecho. Hanchileinu, give us this nachalo. What do you mean give us? He gave it to us. No, it's like a new hischatshus. Every Shabbos, it's like a new expression of relationship. I'm inviting you to celebrate the anniversary together with me, and I'm giving you this special day as a nachlo. And every Shabbos we ask, v'ayta v'hanchileinu Hashem Elokeinu. He should, in fact, now, in present, give us this nachlo. So we have so much that connects us to Hashem in this ongoing loving relationship. Not just the love that we have for Him, but the love that He has for us. And therefore, it should become much easier for us to be able to recognize that love and Memela to be able to put our trust in him. But let's focus for a moment on something else. The Gemara in Yuma says that Moshe Rabbeinu said the praises of Hashem Okeil, Agodoil, Hagibra, Vahanoira. Yirmiya and Daniel came along and they took away the Noira, Aye Noira Oisov. Look what the Goyim are doing to us without any impunity, without any fear. They come into the Beis HaMikdash, they destroy it, they walk around like this. Aye Gvur Oisov, the same thing, I think Gvur Oisov referring to that we live our lives amongst all the nations, amongst all the wolves out there trying to attack us. And where's the Gvur of Hashem? There's no Gvur, there's no Noira. They couldn't say these words. They couldn't bring themselves to say it because I guess it wouldn't be true for them. That would not ring of real truth. The Anshik Nesak Doyla came along, and that's why they were called Anshik Nesak Doyla Sheikh Zero Atorah Leyoshna. They said, Hein Hein Gvuroisov. Why? And they said the following. What's the Gvura? The Gvura is that Hashem is Koivish his Kas. He overwhelms his caste and allows them to continue doing everything that they do to us. Vehenoira oisov, that despite everything that they're allowed to do to us, we still see Hashem protects the Klal Yisrael. We're still alive and well, and all of our enemies have disappeared. And when you think about it, it's the greatest insight to Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Even, possibly, greater than had we not suffered. Because when we suffer so much, and for whatever the divine cheshbon is to allow Klal Yisrael to suffer this way, but the assurance and the effort on his part is not effort, but the fact that Klal Yisrael continues to survive despite everything that we've been through throughout the millennia is like, first of all, it's the greatest chizuk in emunah. It's like you see the Ar Hashem, you see it. You see an act of Ashgocha Protis is one thing, but here you see the Ar Hashem. This is not shaykh. And when we see the Ar Hashem like that, and we see they have a carte blanche, it seems, to do whatever they want to us, and still we survive and they disappear. That's what the Novi said. That's the Neurois. That's awesome. And I would suggest that awesomeness can give us a sense of how much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Imagine what kind of a tipul it is to allow the Goyim to do everything they do and at the same time to assure the survival of Klal Yisrael. How many miracles? Rabbi Yankov Emden swears by his life and says that the miracles that have allowed for the survival of Klal Yisrael and the Torah by Klal Yisrael are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And then we see the Ar Hashem, we see the love of Hashem, we see the very survival that we have today is the greatest indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. And the Mela, that should give us an extra measure of chizuk, and should be able to strengthen us in our ability, because if Itaka loves me, he loves Klal Yisrael, and he loves me. And the pshat is like this, that even though I do things that are inappropriate, so does Klal Yisrael, but the love, it seems, is for something else. The midas that we have, the rachmonim, baishonim, goyim lechasodim, the midas of Avram Avinu, there's certain gutzkeit, there's certain midas, there's certain... There's yashrus, there's so many beautiful qualities that, and that's the essence of everything. The essence of the Torah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah are given, letzarif benes abriyos, just to refine our character. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that in Klal Yisrael there is this character, refined character, that's worth everything. That's worthy of our love, that's worthy of His love, that makes us worthy of His love, and can make us more able to be able to trust him. And I think that Agav, there's a message here for parents as well. And that is, you know, someone just called me just before I came here. A kid was already older, married, but still testing the parents. And they said themselves, they realized themselves that children test their parents' love. And how do they test it? They want to see whether you love me for who I am or for what I do. I don't want your love for what I do. That's not me. That's my actions. And that's you. And that's maybe your social status. And maybe that's your shidduchim for your children. And maybe that's your comfort zone. And maybe that's your selfish motivation. I want you to love me for who I am, not what I do. I don't do the things that you want me to do. But inside, I want you to love me for who I am. Because I am this beautiful, wonderful, kind, generous, sensitive, person. And that's really the way. And these people said it. A few people said it. I mean, I hear it all the time. You know, parents that say, "Oh, I love my child. I just don't like him." That means, you know, I know that I love him because I was programmed that way. But the way he acts, boy, and there are parents that don't even say it to their children. But children test our love, and they want to know we love them for who they are. And we have to know that Hashem loves us for who we are, not necessarily for what we do. I just like to take this down a little bit to the personal human side, because I think over there it gives us a little more sense of the confidence we could feel because of ourselves personally, rather than just being part of the Klal Yisrael. So I read something last night, which to me was like amazing. Somebody came to the Chazon Ish and told him that the doctors told him he has a certain poison in his body, that he has only 4 days to live. That's it. 4 days, and it's all over. And he came, he's so tzibrochen in this. The Chazon Ish takes out a chumash, and he reads with him, Bereishis, what Hashem created on the first day, what Hashem created on the second day, what Hashem created on the third day, what Hashem created on the fourth day. And then the Chazon Ish says to him, he says, "Do you see what Hashem did in 4 days? Do you think in 4 days he can't bring about a refuah to your intractable problem?" The doctor said he's for sure going to die. So the guy walked away with a chizuk and this, you know. On the fourth day, he gets a call from his doctor, says that there's a medicine that has been already approved in the United States, but it's not approved for use in Israel, but they want to test it. Does he want to be part of this test, to test this medication for his illness? Sure enough, he took it. He lived. The fourth day. But such a thing. Hashem, look what he did on the first day. Look what he did on the second day. The third day. That he could do anything. And when we realize not only that he can do anything, but that he does, then that's love. That should be the greatest source of inspiration of confidence. And just one more story I want to leave you with, which you may have seen around. I think it's been circulating. But the first time I saw it, it was something very special. Guy, his wife, as her mother is buried in a cemetery someplace in Staten Island place.
Oh, that's going on.
You know that? Yeah.
That's going on, so yesterday.
She usually goes there Rosh Hashanah. She wasn't able to. They were driving on that whatever it is there, and the husband says, "Maybe we'll go. You know, now we'll go daven there by the kever." So they go, fine, davening there. Well, he sees that they're coming with a hearse. There's a levaya. He notices they have only 9 people. They need him there for kaddish. Okay, he says kaddish. They say kaddish, whatever, and then they walk away. They're ready to leave. So he says, "We got to bury the body." He says, no, the guy, the goyim will do it, you know.
Exactly.
So he himself single-handedly shovels the thing an hour and a half, and he buries the whole, this mitzvah. He sees the name, and he didn't know, had no clue, but he was very curious. He started to look around, to do some research. So he ends up calling Rabbi Naftali Neuberger from Neri Yisrael. He was a student in Eretz Yisrael, and he tells, "Yes, Rabbi Neuberger, you know, I saw this guy, a mitzvah, and this is his name." He says he almost fainted. He says, what happened? He says, when you were a bocher, you came to the yeshiva. Your father had just lost his job, and they didn't have money for tuition. This man paid your tuition all the years you were in the yeshiva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now years later, he's a mes mitzvah, and this punk who happens to be there, this one individual who's going to bury him. When you think about that, for one, we do, to pay tuition for a lot of years is a lot of money, but we do something, it never gets forgotten. We forget the good that we do, and therefore we focus on the evil that we do, because the good we forget. I know I'm bad, but the good we tend to... Because Paul doesn't forget anything.
That's the and gives, every, gives, what? Gives, and get, yet forget.
What's that?
So I sent this.
Oh, he sent me that thing. Oh, this is a beautiful thing. How's it go again? He sent me something the other day. Hashem gives, and then
gives.
With a four gives, and four gives. We get, and forget.
Forget.
That's the story. But if we would only remember, we'd be able to realize how much he loves us, how much basis there is to love us, and how much... I want to just add one more thing. Someone who grew up in a very fear-oriented tradition, you know, Yiras HaInush, you know, really that type of an atmosphere, and is very traumatized from it. So he tells me that, and he's been working on developing bitochen, and tells me that this week or whenever it was, this day, Hashem was right by my side. Things happened in business that I've been trying for a year to make happen, and he's right there with me. And I'm shivering the whole time. He's going to get me. He's going to punish me. Here he is. He sees Hashem being mischassid, showing him love, doing things for him that he couldn't do the whole year. And he tells me, he's right here by my side. And I'm sitting here worrying, oh, when's he gonna hit me? When's he gonna hit me over the head? When's he gonna? We have to realize that we're a lot more worthy than we think we are sometimes. And the love of Hashem is untainted by the mistakes that we make. And even the definition of Yirah Shemayim, Rashi says in Koheles, Mashatucha La'aseyes Hashem Elokecha Tiro, Kizeh Kol Ha'odom, So Rashi says, "Mashatucha laasei v'libcha la'shamayim." Have to do the best you can. Your heart has to be focused to heaven to do better and better. And that's really what it is. So we should know Hashem loves us. We're worthy of that love, and even when we're unworthy for many other reasons, that love is still there, and therefore we should be able to find the strength to put our trust in Him.